You can be seated. Kids, today there are clipboards at the back if you'd like them, and also parents of little ones, the nursery's open as long as we have some adult supervision there. It's great. Thank you. Thanks for being here. It's good to be with you on this Sunday morning. Thank you for joining us as summer slowly begins to wrap up. I know that many of our congregants are off on vacation for the next 2 weeks, so they're just kind of holding on to these last days of summer, and we bless them in their journeys. Terry and I watched a movie this past week about two people's rigorous journey while trying to outrun those chasing them. And they found themselves in a desert-like land with very dry conditions, under the burning sun, and with no water. And when they came to a place where water was available, the one person chugged that water so quickly that he couldn't swallow it fast enough. And so the water was spurting everywhere. And finally, he poured the remaining water over his head. He drank so quickly to quench the thirst, this desperate thirst that he had. And then he wept, having been so thirsty, so dry, so desperate for water that he couldn't contain his emotions. This great joy at his thirst being quenched. The water became a gift to him, meeting his deep, deep longing. I read this week that a feeling of agony can overcome someone who is dehydrated, that confusion and dizziness can set in, and that the sensation of thirst can range from discomfort to urgent, with an almost painful need to drink water. A friend of ours pushed himself hard to run a marathon. And as he crossed the finish line, he was super happy with his time, but then he found himself in the back of an ambulance as dehydration had taken over him. He passed out. He needed to go to the hospital. And after 24 hours of IV fluids and ice chips, he was able to return home, but he felt really sluggish for that next week. Our physical bodies require water. And the physical sensation for thirst is real. We feel it. We experience its symptoms. And our brains alert us to our need for water. And we are wise when we find a source of water that will quench our thirst. In Scripture, the Israelites faced severe physical thirst as they journeyed in the wilderness after leaving the oppression of the Egyptians. Exodus 17 reads, "They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. And so they quarreled with Moses, and they said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses replied, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test in the middle of this desert?' But the people were thirsty for water, and they grumbled against Moses. And they said, 'Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?' They were so thirsty that they thought they and their livestock were going to die. Their thirst was real, and it was frightening. God provided for their thirst by giving Moses the ability to perform a miracle of provision. God told Moses to strike a rock, and out of it water flowed, and their physical thirst was quenched. While hanging on the cross, Jesus experienced physical thirst, saying, 'I am thirsty.'" Scripture uses a description of physical thirst in the animal kingdom, and we sang it this morning, as an image of the deer spiritually longing or needing for God on a soul level. As a deer searches for the water, so our souls thirst for God. Psalm 42 reads, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" The psalmist here is expressing his deep spiritual longing for communion with God. This longing that feels the same as physical thirst does, an urgent need, a deep longing for a connection with God that will quench whatever is within us that feels so deeply dissatisfied. And in Psalm 63, the psalmist again speaks of the thirst in his soul. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. And I'm going to invite us to read this together just so we have the experience of saying to God, I thirst for you. So take just a second, read those words, kind of figure out what your posture or tone might be when you would say, God, I thirst for you. And then we'll read it together in just a second. Let's read it together like we're thirsting for God. You, God, are my God. I thirst for you. Dry, parched, no water. I think if we try, we can imagine what feeling dry and parched is like. And so thirst is real in both our physical bodies and in our spiritual lives. In both, there is a yearning for something to satisfy a deep longing or need. I am not great at hydrating. I often forget to drink water, choosing non-hydrating beverages instead. So tea and Diet Coke kind of top my list. But regularly, my dentist, my eye doctor, and my family doctor remind me to drink more water. They say, Catherine, are you drinking water? I always think, I wonder how they know that, but they do. And so my physical being, my physical body, is in need of water for hydration. And I am given these reminders to drink water to keep my physical being well hydrated and to keep all the systems that God has created in me working at their best. So most of us know when our physical bodies are thirsty, but what about on the soul level? This longing, this thirst for God's presence is found all throughout Scripture. I believe that our yearning for God is a holy yearning. In thirsting for God, we are demonstrating our belief that God's presence will satisfy the deep longing that we feel in our inmost being. God makes his presence known to his people all throughout Scripture, this presence that we are thirsting for. In Exodus 33, the Lord assures Moses, when Moses called out to him in the time of doing a very challenging task where deep faith was required, the Lord said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. God continues to deepen the promise of his presence through Jesus, God with us. John 1 reveals this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And deeper still, with the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We read in John 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit's presence with us provides guidance, comfort, and a constant connection to God. We have the promise of the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with us. And yet some days or some seasons, our souls may experience a dryness, a lack of hope, barrenness, where we join the psalmist again saying, my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land. Or in this dry and parched season or situation where there is no water. So how does thirst in our soul reveal itself to us? What do we experience when we are yearning for the Holy One? When we feel dry in our heart and in our soul, when we long for something beyond. And Cade, your introduction absolutely meets this. Even as you were scrolling through your phone, you were yearning for something that would defeat this feeling that, God, maybe I'm not measuring up. You were seeking God's reminder that He makes you beautiful. So thank you for that reminder. When our soul is thirsting for the living God, we might be experiencing some of these emotions or some of these thoughts towards God, and this definitely is not the list that is complete. But we might experience these thoughts of abandonment, of disappointment, of grief and lament, of anger, of indifference, of weariness. In our souls, we may feel unsettled or lonely or empty or confused or really, really sad. And all of these emotions, all of these thoughts are represented in Scripture. And I believe that we are meant to take comfort in this, that when our souls thirst for God, we have companions in Scripture, allowing us to know that what we are experiencing is real and it is known by God, and that there is refreshment for our thirsty souls. Last week, we looked at Jeremiah 2, where God identifies Himself as the spring of living water. And in John 14, Jesus refers to the thirst-quenching water that He offers us, saying, "Indeed, the water I give them, the water I give you, will become in them, a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And in Revelation, there are these comforting words from God. "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Like for the Israelites, where God provided physical water for them to drink, God offers life-giving water to our souls. He promises, "I will give them a spring of the water of life." So again, how does God provide water for our parched souls? It's important for us to know that this will be different for each one of us. We may not have the same experience as someone else does, because God meets us as individuals and in His timing. So this life-giving water might come through a verse of Scripture or through something in creation. It may come through the companionship of a friend or through inviting people to pray over us. In the spring of this past year, I was feeling a deep weariness in my soul, and the narrative that I had taken on was that it was my role, fully on me, to pursue God, to tirelessly, to tirelessly seek His ways, to pray without ceasing, and just to find the answers. All this responsibility and all this doing that I thought was mine was tiring. And it was really sucking the joy out of following Jesus. It was dry. And then one Sunday, we were singing Goodness of God that we just sang. And we have sung that multiple times together. It is, I feel like it's our theme song. We raise our voices when we sing that song. And so we're singing Goodness of God. And all of a sudden, some of the lyrics became this water to my soul. The lyrics are, "Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me." And without awareness, I had started doing this on my palm. God pursuing me. God running after me. And I stood in this front row and I was deeply moved. I believe my thirst was quenched in that moment with a new awareness of the spring of life that God gave to me through the reminder that Jesus' goodness and mercy pursues me, that He is active towards me, that his desire is to quench that thirst within me. That Jesus is near, actively offering strength, direction, and wisdom. This life-giving water moment, it slowed me down. It really, really slowed me down. And it quenched a deep thirst that had taken over within my soul. And it was a beautiful reminder, and I think actually maybe it was a moment of correction from God, that the ways of God are not meant to weigh me down or to feel burdensome, and that I am to wait and to be still with God and trust that he will guide and lead. And since then, I often use this physical reminder that God is active in seeking me, and it's not all up to me, and that God's goodness follows me all the days of my life and all the days of our lives. In Scripture, we find the story of Elijah the prophet that might be familiar to you. He is a prophet of God who found himself frightened and exhausted while serving God. And we meet Elijah in the wilderness, where I believe he expresses the deep, deep thirst of his soul, just in different words. Scripture reads, "Elijah came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life.'" We can hear that Elijah's soul is parched, that he is weary, that he is longing. We can hear in his words just how dry his soul is as a follower of the living God. And then an angel came and provided food and drink for Elijah. Food and drink for his physical body. And I just love these caring words that the messenger of God spoke to Elijah. The angel said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." God met the physical needs of Elijah on this journey that was too much. And so Elijah got up and he ate and he drank. And the food and the drink strengthened his physical body so that he could travel further, where he found a cave to rest in. And while in the cave, the Lord came to Elijah and asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And here God is speaking into the dryness of Elijah's soul, to his thirst for the living God, to be present with him in the challenges that he was facing. To which Elijah basically replied, "I have worked very hard and with great passion for you, serving you, and now I am being pursued by those who want to kill me. I am really weary in my soul. Doesn't feel like it's going well." So the Lord said to him, "Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And here we receive again this promise of God saying, "My presence will be with you wherever you go." So Elijah, go stand out there, and I am going to reveal my presence to you. And so Elijah, with his weary and thirsty soul, stood awaiting God's presence. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And the Lord was in that gentle whisper. In the gentlest of whispers, God was providing springs of living water to Elijah's soul. The whisper of God met Elijah's spiritual thirst. And again, I do not know how God has or will meet your soul when it is thirsty. I can't know that. But I do know that God is the spring of living water, and that he pursues us through a vast number of ways and means to provide fountains of living waters in dry places within us. Cade read earlier this promise from Psalm 107. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all people. For God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. We can be confident that God sees us in our thirsty moments and seasons. He does not withhold the spring of life from us. He invites us to come to him with our thirst, to come to him to the waters, and to be satisfied. I'm going to invite us to join with me in a litany of praise for living water. It's going to be on the screen, and I invite you to read the bold parts, except for the title. Let's read. In the dry wildernesses of our lives, in the days of heat and thirst, you offer us living water. When we begin to doubt your presence and grumble that your love is unreliable, you offer us living water. When life's regrets and the poor choices we have made leave us feeling excluded and unworthy, you offer us living water. When circumstances or the inhumanity of others have left us alone and wounded, you offer us living water. We thank you and we praise you, O God, that however we may thirst, whatever we may need to satisfy our souls, you offer it freely and abundantly in Christ. So we drink. Pass the cup to others who, like us, are thirsty for your grace, for your soul-quenching presence. Amen. As many of you know, our beloved Hans died on Tuesday of this week. And I know that we will miss his faithful presence on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. We will miss his amens and the way that he offered encouragement to us. And I want to close by just sharing a moment that I had with Hans on the day of his death. I had the sacred privilege of spending time with Hans, often as his body was weakening, but his spirit definitely was not weakening. And I was called early on the morning of the day that Hans died to be with him and to be with his family. And truly, Hans's deepest longing was to be with God. He was thirsty to be in God's presence, and he was without fear, and he was fully at peace. And on this last day of him being on earth, he asked that I read scripture to him, and so I just read passage after passage, and always at the end of a passage, Hans would say, "Yes, Lord, yes." And I chose to read Revelations 21, as it contains a comforting image of what heaven might be like. And it is here that I read to Hans a verse that I read earlier. Imagine God saying this to Hans: "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." And what I realize is I don't have words to describe how the presence of God filled the room as I read, "To the thirsty, I will give water from the spring of the water of life." It was just so deeply evident that God was meeting Hans's thirst for everlasting life with him. And though I shed tears and I will continue to deeply miss Hans, mostly what I experienced that day was awe and gratitude for this eternal fountain of life-giving water that Hans was soon to encounter, and I think actually was already encountering, and for the peace and for the certainty of God's everlasting provision for him and for his family and for us, the church that he loved so very much. And I know that we will deeply miss Hans's presence among us. And yet we can take comfort that Hans has received the promise of Jesus. Whoever believes in me, rivers of life, living water will flow from within them in life and in death. Jesus invites each of us to come to the water. And I encourage each one of us to accept this invitation when our souls cry out with thirst for God's presence, for God's strength, for God's peace. Let us pray. God, thank you that you invite our authentic selves to come before you. Thank you that through Scripture you model to us that you are open to hearing, my soul thirsts for you, or I am thirsty in this dry and parched land. Thank you that we don't have to pretend that all is well. God, thank you that you are this life-giving fountain, that you are available to us, that you have promised your presence to us. Sometimes we may long longer than we want to. Sometimes we will carry with us, but I am so thirsty. And God, in those moments, would you be gracious and kind and generous and coming speedily to us and reminding us of your deep love, of your strength, of your refreshment and renewal. God, thank you that you are the eternal source of life-giving water. Amen.
Please stand with us if you're able.
I invite you to come forward. There's also some snacks at the back, and we can enjoy some conversation together. I offer this benediction. It's sort of more like a prayer from our souls. And I give this to you. Lord, where there is dryness in our lives, bless us with your living water. Where we are thirsty for new and abundant life, bless us with your living water. Drench the dry and thirsty parts in our souls with your promise of living water. Amen. Go in God's peace.